This morning on WCHL, an organization called the Project on Fair Representation filed a lawsuit against UNC on Monday, charging racial discrimination in its admissions policy. The cold temperatures are driving up demand for emergency shelter at the Interfaith Council's community house.
One thing we really need, actually, right now is more blankets. We haven't had enough blankets for the extra guys that have had to be in the shelter.
And UNC is seeking to fight a lawsuit filed by former learning specialist Mary Willingham in federal court instead of state court. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports this morning, the 5-5 UNC football team has seen its fair share of adversity in a season that, once again, has not lived up to expectations. And
not basketball, not women's soccer. Nope, Carolina is a field hockey school.
That's on the way on WCHL's Morning News on Archansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07 in WCHL, 35 degrees in Chapel Hill. A sunny day expected, although the temperatures are going to hold there in the 30s. About 37 or 38 degrees ought to be our high today. No mention of any rain in the forecast, no fog to deal with this morning, no wind to speak of, but a very cool morning, and it will remain that way for at least 24 to 36 hours. A low tonight down around 18. An organization called the Project on Fair Representation has filed a lawsuit against UNC. It happened on Monday. The lawsuit charges racial discrimination in UNC's admissions policy. The group also filed suit against Harvard University. The suit against UNC cites a 2013 Supreme Court case, Fisher v. University of Texas at Austin, in which the court ruled that it was acceptable for colleges to pursue diversity as a goal in admissions, but also that they should pursue race-neutral alternatives first, and any race-conscious policy must be narrowly tailored. The suits were filed on Monday in Boston and Greensboro, respectively. In both cases, the plaintiff is actually a group called Students for Fair Admissions. On Monday, Associate Vice Chancellor for Communications and Public Affairs, Rick White, issued a statement in response to the lawsuit. It reads, quoting here, "The university is aware of the suit filed today by the Project on Fair Representation. The university stands by its current undergraduate admissions policy and process. Further, the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights determined in 2012 that UNC Chapel Hill's use of race in the admissions process is consistent with federal law." As the university wrote in a 2012 amicus friend of the court brief in the U.S. Supreme Court case of Fisher v. University of Texas at Austin, the university continues to affirm the educational benefits diversity brings to students, as well as the importance of preparing students for a diverse society and assuring a pool of strong state leaders by admitting undergraduates from every background. That is the statement from the University of North Carolina, and that is a direct quote. The group also has filed suit against Harvard University. The group, the organization, is called the Project on Fair Representation. UNC is seeking to fight a lawsuit filed by former learning specialist Mary Willingham in federal court instead of state court. The suit was filed in Wake County District Court, but UNC officials argued in a hearing on Monday that this case falls under federal law. In her suit, Willingham says she was demoted, reassigned, and ostracized after she blew the whistle on so-called paper classes at UNC, as well as low literacy levels among UNC athletes. Willingham announced her resignation back in April, but she's now seeking reinstatement along with at least $10,000 in damages. Named in this lawsuit are UNC Chancellor Carol Folt, Provost Jim Dean, and ex-Senior Associate Dean for Undergraduate Education, Bobby Owen. The cold temperatures are driving up demand for emergency shelter at the Interfaith Council's community house. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
IFC Residential Services Director Elizabeth Waugh DeFord says this past weekend, the community house emergency shelter served an average of 60 men each night, a trend she expects to continue through the week as the weather stays cold. The shelter can usually accommodate 50, but on nights when the temperature dips below freezing, staff put out extra cots and yoga mats for anyone who needs to come inside. Waugh DeFord says they have an immediate need for more blankets.
One thing we really need, actually, right now is more blankets. because we haven't had enough blankets for the extra guys that have had to be in the shelter.
While IFC staffers are doing all they can to help the homeless stay warm this winter, the nonprofit won't be able to serve 60 men a night this time next year. That's because when the community house shifts to a new location off Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard next summer, the organization will be changing its service model as well, focusing on long-term transitional housing instead of emergency shelter. While many recognize the need for a new shelter to serve Orange County, there's not yet a plan in place to replace all the beds at the community house.
I know it's an ongoing conversation among the local government and just in our community in general, you know, what to do when we transition to being a primarily transitional men's shelter.
Wada Ford says the new site will still have some beds available during weather emergencies, but the number of people they can accommodate will be far lower.
Well, we still have 17 emergency beds for inclement weather in our new shelter. We would still have those beds available when it's really cold. The difference is that they're not going to be available if we don't have inclement weather.
In the meantime, those without shelter are facing a week of bitter cold. If you're looking to help, you can find a link to needed donations at our website, chapelboro.com. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
More than 140 people attended last night's meeting at the Chapel Hill Town Hall Council Chambers. The town council heard public comments at a proposed mixed-use development in North Chapel Hill called The Edge. The 600,000 to 900,000 square foot development is planned for 53 acres on Eubanks Road. Though it's not required, development company Northwood Raven commits to providing at least 50 rental units as affordable housing. The company, Crossland LLC, which used to work with Northwood Raven, owns a couple of low-income developments in Harborough. Candace Lowne said she lived in one of those complexes. The landings at Winmore Apartments, where her upstairs neighbor had a leak.
The sheetrock in the master bedroom and laundry room in my apartment were saturated with laundry water.
Lowne said the management did not deal with the issue adequately and mold grew in her apartment. The grassroots organization Justice United called on community members to speak at the meeting. Community members expressed distress at mismanagement of two low-income rental complexes. Michael Birch, a land use attorney at the Morningstar Law Group, spoke on behalf of Northwood Raven. Birch said Northwood was connected with Crossland, but that association ended in April of 2011. Lydia Lavelle, the mayor of Carborough, expressed her concerns.
We want to be clear that Northwood Raven has no connection.
We'll hear from Lydia Lavelle later. She said Carborough has had recurring issues with the landings, which opened in 2009. Council members asked the developer to address concerns about property management and concerns about too little retail space at the next meeting on December 3rd. Carborough aldermen will consider extending the deadline to start construction on a pair of previously approved developments when the board meets tonight. The Butler is a commercial and residential project planned for 120 Brewer Lane. It was approved back in 2008, but developers are asking for an extension of the conditional use permit while they negotiate with Orange County on the location of a new branch library. The Shops at Jones Ferry was approved in 2007. Developers for that project want to bring retail and possibly a grocery store to Jones Ferry Road near Barn Street, but they say the economic downturn has made it hard to move forward. If the board grants the extensions, the conditional use permits would be valid for another year. Aldermen will also get an update in the public forum on community policing held last month. The meeting will get underway tonight at 7:30 in Carborough Town Hall. And the Orange County Commissioners will consider adopting the 2013 Master Parks Plan when the board meets tonight. This will be the first major update of the county's Parks and Recreation Plan since 1988. The plan lists the $2.3 million Blackwood Farm Park outside of Hillsboro as a top priority, along with River Park and a new $6 million athletic facility on Millhouse Road north of Chapel Hill. The board will also likely authorize the transfer of ownership of the new Buckhorn-Mebane water and sewer utility infrastructure to the city of Mebane. The project was completed this fall using $5.1 million in revenue from the county's quarter-cent sales tax to support economic development. It will bring water and sewer service to the Buckhorn-Mebane Economic Development District, where Japanese candy maker Morinaga is building its first American factory. The city of Mebane will provide sewer and water service to the area. County commissioners will meet tonight at 7 o'clock in Chapel Hill at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. WCHL News Time, 7:16. It is time now for traffic and weather together. And this traffic report is brought to you this morning by the town of Carborough. Here's Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. 15501, just busy so far. Both directions between Franklin Street and I-40. 40 eastbound, still a problem-free ride from 15501 to the Durham Freeway. And no issues to contend with as well in the Durham Freeway. Both directions still delay-free between downtown Durham and I-40. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or safely tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Just a fantastic job there, and no fog.
No.
Nothing like that.
Nice, clear, sunny skies. Yeah. It's beautiful out. It's cold. Yeah. Grab a coat.
It's cold, but just wrap up and you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
No wind to deal with this morning. So it's actually going to be a nice day, but our high today only in the upper 30s.
Oof.
Kind of like frozen, almost.
Yes, I don't want to go into the singing part now. Please don't break into song.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
I was just making a very clever transition here to a word for the town of Carborough.
Huh?
Carborough Cheer, a month-long holiday celebration in Carborough, frozen at 300 East Main Street, is this Saturday from 2 until 6 p.m. Thank you very much. You see what I did there.
I do.
Watch the movie and see the characters, Hampton Inn and downtown Carborough. That's where it happens. Town of Carborough, always with some exciting things going on. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather looks like this. It is 35 degrees, sunshine, much cooler, high today in the upper 30s. Tonight we're looking at clear skies, cold temperatures, lows around 18. Tomorrow, sunny with a high in the low 40s, a little bit warmer. Tomorrow night, mostly clear and cold with a low in the upper 20s. And then on Thursday, sunny, not as cool with a high in the low 50s. So just gradually a little bit warmer as we go along this week. WCHL News Time is 7:18. Coming on Thursday, the Great American Smokeout. In celebration, UNC's Nicotine Dependence Program will be giving away free nicotine patches. If you've been thinking about quitting, now is the time that. If you tried before, now's the time to try again. To qualify to receive 8 weeks of free patches, just call the Quit Line. This Thursday, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, or you can visit www.quitlinenc.com. That is 1-800-QUIT-NOW or quitlinenc.com. The story and all our other news around town stories on our website at chapelboro.com. Time for championship sports. Let's talk a little Carolina football. The 5-5 Carolina football team has seen its fair share of adversity in a season that once again has not lived up to expectations. But through it all, you have to admit the Tar Heels have continued to display a fighting spirit that filters down from two of the team's leaders, head coach Larry Fedora and the tough guy, the warrior, signal caller Marquise Williams. WCHL's Matt Oakes reports.
Coach Fedora says he has the utmost confidence in his players to keep battling, even in the crucible of a fourth quarter deficit.
Well, our guys don't panic. I mean, they really don't. They don't panic. If you think about it, just same thing we said after the Georgia Tech game, you looked at them in that situation, nobody was in a big hurry. Nobody was worried about it. They just played.
The unflappable Tar Heels have trailed in almost every game this season and have surrendered an ACC worst number of points to opposing teams. But somehow, some way, Carolina remains at a respectable 5-5 mark on the season. Heart isn't always easy to measure in an athlete. But Coach Fedora, and for that matter, any other UNC football observer, must wonder if junior quarterback Marquise Williams has an extra heart beating inside his chest somewhere. Williams, the ACC offensive back of the week yet again, has led the Tar Heels to final drive victories now in two huge home contests. Thrilling victories against 9-2 Georgia Tech and 4-6 Pittsburgh have kept UNC's bowl hopes alive. And the MVP of both of those games? no doubt, Williams. Williams says he'll do anything, including sacrificing his body against big, bruising linebackers in order to secure victory for his teammates.
Me and one-on-one with the linebacker, my chances are going to be me. And I felt confident, you know. I felt like no one man is going to break me down, and that's how I think when I'm running the football. And, you know, that's when I just wanted to put the team on back and let them know that, hey, man, I'm in this for y'all.
Another example of perseverance for the Tar Heels comes in the form of wide receiver Quinshon Davis. Davis has battled injuries all season, but came up with a few key grabs in the Pitt game last weekend. Coach Fedora says he never has to worry about Davis on Saturdays.
It's just, you know, for Quinshon, I mean, you can call, anytime you go to him, he's going to make a play. I mean, he's going to make a play, you know, and he's fighting and scratching and clawing, trying to get in that end zone. You know, he's always going to come through.
Maybe Coach Fedora could learn a thing or two from Williams on how to stay calm on the sidelines. The Carolina skipper says his quarterback is always under control these days.
I get a lot more frustrated than he does. I mean, he stays pretty calm, pretty collected. You know, he's busy encouraging guys and talking things through and talking to the O-line and the receivers. I mean, you don't see a whole lot of frustration on his part.
The finish line is in sight now, with two rivalry games against Duke this Thursday night at Wallace Wade Stadium and a home tilt against the Wolfpack the following Saturday. UNC will surely be hungry to put an exclamation point on 2014 and in the process secure a spot in the postseason. But Coach Fedora says the Tar Heels don't care who their opponents are coming up and says the team isn't talking bowl scenarios just yet.
I'll be honest with you, we hadn't even talked about anything about a bowl game. We really haven't. We hadn't, you know, but I don't have any doubt our team's going to prepare and they're going to be ready to play on Thursday. I mean, I really do. I believe that. I don't worry about that. And I believe they'll be ready on that next one. I mean, so in that, you know, for that, I guess maybe it helps. Yeah, we plan on being in a bowl game. There's no doubt about it. So I don't know if it matters who we play.
The Fighting Comeback Tar Heels will need plenty of perseverance Thursday night when they head into enemy territory looking to bring back the bell to Chapel Hill. Matt Oaks, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Coach Fedora was talking about Quinshon Davis and how he fights to get into the end zone. On the next to last play for Carolina, Quinshon was on the receiving end of that pass from Marquise Williams, and after he caught the ball, struggled really hard to get into the end zone, got it all the way down to the 1 yard line, and that, of course, is where TJ Logan was able to run it in for the touchdown that won it for Carolina. But Quinshon is something else, and Marquise Williams just takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Just amazing. Carolina versus Duke coming up on Thursday night, and of course we'll have it for you right here on WCHL. Bad news out of the Carolina football program yesterday. As far as injuries are concerned, Carolina has lost sophomore tailback Chris Francis to a season-ending knee injury. The school says Francis tore the anterior cruciate and medial collateral ligaments, as well as the meniscus in his right knee, while returning a kickoff during the second quarter of that game against Pittsburgh. Francis will need surgery now. It has not yet been scheduled. Francis was reserve in a crowded backfield this season. He's from Durham, in case you don't know, and Chris Francis was actually playing behind TJ Logan, Elijah Hood, and Romar Morris. Now, Elijah Hood trying to get back after an injury problem of his own, and Romar Morris was suspended for the Pittsburgh game, so hopefully he will be back. And Tar Heels having some problems with injuries now. North Carolina announced the extent of Francis's injury on Monday. They've had the same kind of deal with the Carolina Panthers. Panthers coach Ron Rivera is expecting 2013 Pro Bowl fullback Mike Tolbert to play in this team's next game, November 30th against the Minnesota Vikings. The Panthers don't have a game until then. Panthers are 3-7-1, and they have a bye this week. Tolbert has spent the last 8 games on the injured reserve designated to return list with a hairline fracture in his left leg, but he is eligible to return against the Vikings. Rivera says Tolbert's size, along with his ability to run, block, and catch passes, makes him a very valuable weapon in the backfield. Certainly Cam Newton would be happy to have him back. Tolbert has been practicing the last couple of weeks and says he feels like he's recovered. Rivera also says starting right tackle Nate Chandler will have an MRI on his knee after it swelled up following Carolina's 19-17. Lost to Atlanta this past Sunday. So things not been going well for the Panthers. Hopefully they will get better with the return of Mike Tolbert, and hopefully the Tar Heels will be able to recover from the loss of Chris Francis. 7:25 at WCHL, I'm Ron Stutz.
Archansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Not basketball, not women's soccer. Nope, Carolina is a field hockey school. This is Archansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. Compared to all the good and bad lately generated by our revenue-producing sports, Coach Karen Shelton's field hockey team labors in ritual anonymity. But have you noticed that the leggy Lady Tar Heels, who carry mighty big sticks, qualified for their 7th NCAA Final Four in the last 8 years, their 6th straight, and 19th overall? Maybe Anson Dorrance's women once dominated like that, but not lately. Shelton's top-ranked Tar Heels reached the Final Four this weekend in College Park with an oh-so-sweet 3-0 win over No. 9 Duke Sunday here at Henry Stadium. The game winner was by senior Lauren Sheely in the 32nd minute, and UNC got two more by Emma Bozek while taking 23 shots on goal compared to only 7 for the Dukies, who lost a dreaded Triple Crown to Carolina this season, once in the regular schedule, once in the ACC tournament, and then this coup de grace. 2 days later, 7 Tar Heel starters made the Division I All-South Regional team. Bozick, Charlotte Craddock, Nina Nortman, Samantha Travers, and Emily Wold were named to the 16-member All-South First Team, while Sheely and Julia Young made second team. And before it's over, there are bound to be a few All-Final Four and All-American honors garnered. That alone shows you how good these Tar Heels are on the field. And listen to what these young stars are studying. Business, public policy, peace, war and defense, double major, psychology, exercise and sports science, communication studies, and get this, one sociology and communications double major with a minor in entrepreneurship. Shelton is in her 34th season as Tar Heel coach and won 587 games for an average of more than 17 a year. Her Tar Heels have also won 18 ACC championships, and she has been named ACC Coach of the Year 9 times. On the national level, Shelton has won 6 NCAA championships and finished 2nd 9 times. Are you kidding me? Call her the Jack Nicklaus of field hockey for winning so many majors and coming in 2nd so many times. Hey, coach, bring back number 7 this weekend. This is our chance, dude. See ya.
Remember the 007 movies? The name is Bond, James Bond. The man who saved the world time and time again, who always had a gorgeous woman hanging on his arm. Well, my friend, you have a spectacular woman of your own hanging on your arm. And because you want to keep her forever, you're going to take a page from 007. Yes, the name is Bond, Marriage Bond. Yes, you're going to secretly slip into our store, and when you leave our store, you will have in your hands, just like Mr. Bond of the movies, a little device that's going to change the world. That secret device? An engagement ring from Grimble Jewelers. And then at the critical moment, and you will know precisely when, you take your little device out of your pocket, and with just a few words, you're going to change her world and yours because you love her and she loves you. And you are Bond, Marriage Bond. Come to Grimble Jewelers today because your name is Bond, Marriage Bond. Grimble Jewelers, corner of Franklin and Elliott.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
At Jersey Mike's Subs, it's the little things that make all the difference. Every one of our Philly cheesesteaks are cooked fresh to order. We start with an authentic sub roll, baked in-house every day. Then we saute onions, our famous sweet peppers, and your choice of chicken or steak on our flat-top grill. Finish it off with melted cheesy goodness and perhaps a shot of chipotle mayo, and you've got a winner. Visit us at Jersey Mike's Subs on Elliott Road. Order online at jerseymikes.com.
Are you looking for new customers? Try Our Local Deal, brought to you by WCHL and the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. You offer a deal to the community from your business and folks purchase it. Everybody loves a deal. With Our Local Deal, your company is featured on 97.9 FM WCHL, on the website at ourlocaldeal.com, and through social media. Want to try the best marketing deal in town? Visit ourlocaldeal.com or call us at 919-933-4165.
This is Larry Fedora, and you're listening to the WCHL Morning News on 97.9 FM, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
All right, Coach, thank you very much, and good luck on Thursday night against Duke. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carbondale weather brought to you this morning by Cruisers. It is cold this morning, but there's no wind and no rain and no fog. So a sunny, cool day. Much cooler our high today in the upper 30s. We're starting out this morning at 35. Tonight, we're looking at clear skies and cold temperatures, lows down to 18. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the low 40s. Tomorrow night, clear and cold with a low in the upper 20s. And then on Thursday, sunny, not as cool with the highs in the low 50s. You will notice no mention of any rain during all of that time. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Fuel up every morning with Cruisers Fresh Brewed Beans Cafe Coffee, cappuccino, and hot chocolate. Make it your way every day. Guaranteed to taste great. At Cruisers. Good to go.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM. WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
Barrett, two men targeted a Jerusalem synagogue using meat cleavers and a gun to kill four worshipers and injure eight others. Then
a gun battle took place outside as police surrounded the synagogue and moved in on the assailants. The two Palestinian attackers were killed in the shootout. Emergency crews rushed to the site to take the wounded to local hospitals.
Sky's Tom Rayner says since this brutal violence,
after the most deadly attack in this city in many years, security has been intensified right across Jerusalem. Where I am in East Jerusalem, blocks have been placed in the street around the attackers' homes, and there are still forensic investigators back at the synagogue.
Secretary of State John Kerry spoke out in London.
I call on the Palestinian leadership at every single level to condemn this in the most powerful terms.
Now Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has issued a statement condemning the attack. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732, 34 degrees in Chapel Hill. Good morning, I'm Rod Stutz. An organization called the Project on Fair Representation filed a lawsuit against the University of North Carolina on Monday, charging racial discrimination in its admissions policy. The group also filed suit against Harvard University. The suit against Carolina cites a 2013 Supreme Court case, Fisher v. University of Texas at Austin, in which the court ruled that it was acceptable for colleges to pursue diversity as a goal in admissions, but also that they should pursue race-neutral alternatives first, and any race-conscious policy must be narrowly tailored. The suits were filed on Monday in Boston and Greensboro, respectively. In both cases, the one against Harvard and the one against UNC, the plaintiff is actually a group called Students for Fair Admissions. On Monday, Associate Vice Chancellor for Communications and Public Affairs at Carolina, Rick White, issued a statement in response to the lawsuit. And it reads, quoting here, "The university is aware of the suit filed by the Project on Fair Representation. The university stands by its current undergraduate admissions policy and process. Further, the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights determined in 2012 that UNC Chapel Hill's use of race in the admissions process is consistent with federal law." As the university wrote in a 2012 amicus friend of the court brief in the U.S. Supreme Court case of Fisher v. University of Texas at Austin, the university continues to affirm the educational benefits diversity brings to students, as well as the importance of preparing students for a diverse society and assuring a pool of strong state leaders by admitting undergraduates from every background. All of that is a direct quote from the statement issued by UNC yesterday in response to the lawsuit. Again, the suit is filed by the organization called the Project on Fair Representation. They filed one against the University of North Carolina and also against Harvard yesterday. Now, UNC is also seeking to fight a lawsuit filed by former learning specialist Mary Willingham in federal court instead of state court. The suit was filed in Wake County District Court, but UNC officials argued in a hearing on Monday that the case falls under federal law. In her suit, Mary Willingham says she was demoted, reassigned, and ostracized after she blew the whistle on so-called paper classes at UNC, as well as low literacy levels among UNC athletes. Willingham announced her resignation back in April, but now she's seeking a reinstatement along with at least $10,000 in damages. Named in this lawsuit are UNC Chancellor Carol Fault, Provost Jim Dean, and ex-senior associate dean for undergraduate education, Bobby Owen. The cold temperatures are driving up demand for emergency shelter at the IFC's community house. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details on what's happening with the Interfaith Council.
IFC Residential Services Director Elizabeth Waugh DeFord says this past weekend, the Community House Emergency Shelter served an average of 60 men each night, a trend she expects to continue through the week as the weather stays cold. The shelter can usually accommodate 50, but on nights when the temperature dips below freezing, staff put out extra cots and yoga mats for anyone who needs to come inside. Waugh DeFord says they have an immediate need for more blankets.
One thing we really need actually right now is more blankets because we haven't had enough blankets for the extra guys that have had to be in the shelter.
While IFC staffers are doing all they can to help the homeless stay warm this winter, the nonprofit won't be able to serve 60 men a night this time next year. That's because when the community house shifts to a new location off Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard next summer, the organization will be changing its service model as well, focusing on long-term transitional housing instead of emergency shelter. While many recognize the need for a new shelter to serve Orange County, there's not yet a plan in place to replace all the beds at the community house.
I know it's an ongoing conversation among the local government and just in our community in general, you know, what to do when we transition to being a primarily transitional men's shelter.
Waugh DeFord says the new site will still have some beds available during weather emergencies, but the number of people they can accommodate will be far lower.
Well, we still have 17 emergency beds for inclement weather in our new shelter. We would still have those beds available when it's really cold. The difference is that they're not going to be available if we don't have inclement weather.
In the meantime, those without shelter are facing a week of bitter cold. If you're looking to help, you can find a link to needed donations at our website, chapelboro.com. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
It was crowded last night. More than 140 people attended Monday night's meeting at the Chapel Hill Town Hall Council Chambers. Town Council heard public comments on a proposed mixed-use development in northern Chapel Hill called The Edge. The 600 to 900,000 square foot development is planned for 53 acres on Eubanks Road, not far from I-40. Though it's not required, development company Northwood Raven commits to providing at least 50 rental units as affordable housing. The company, Crosland LLC, which used to work with Northwood Raven, owns a couple of low-income developments in Carborough. Candace Lowne said she lived in one of those complexes, The Landings at Winmore Apartments, where her upstairs neighbor had a leak.
The sheetrock in both master bedroom and laundry room in my apartment were saturated with laundry water.
Lowne said the management did not deal with the issue adequately and mold grew in her apartment. The grassroots organization Justice United called on community members to speak at last night's meeting. Community members expressed distress at mismanagement of the two low-income rental complexes in Carborough. Michael Birch, a land use attorney at the Morningstar Law Group, spoke on behalf of Northwood Raven. Birch said Northwood was connected with Crosland, but that association ended in April of 2011.
We want to be clear that Northwood Raven has no connection whatsoever, no current connection with Crosland, that still owns those two affordable housing communities. Again, Northwood Raven also has no connection, no affiliation with WRH Realty, the property management company for those two affordable housing communities.
Lady Lavelle, the mayor of Carborough, expressed her concerns.
We know that Northwood Raven does have some former high-ranking and Crosland LLC employees from the residential division working now with their company. My goal in speaking to you about this is really to give Chapel Hill the opportunity to try to avoid facing the same issues that Carborough staff and elected officials have been dealing with for the last few years.
She said Carborough has had recurring issues with The Landings, which opened in 2009.
And in 2011, the town of Carborough was made aware of a string of policies and actions by the property manager that were disturbing to residents and discriminatory in nature.
Council members asked the developer to address concerns about property management and concerns about too little retail space at the next meeting on December 3rd. WCHL News Time, 7:39. Ron Stutz here, along with Nikki Morse and A lot of folks crowded in that room last night, 140 people.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, The Edge is something that we've all heard about coming for a long time, and it's getting down to the point now where everybody's coming out and expressing their opinions, and, I mean, we're talking about a possible big box store. There's been all kinds of conversation about that.
Right.
It seems like it would be kind of a good place for that because it's close to I-40.
Right.
And it's not far from where we are right now, as a matter of fact, just across Martin Luther King Boulevard. So, at any rate, we'll see what happens with all of that. Everybody speaks out in Chapel Hill and Carborough. There's no question about that. It doesn't matter what it is. If you have anything that's proposed, There will be, you talk to 10 people, there will be 15 opinions.
15 over 10.
Board of Aldermen will meet tonight as well, and the county commissioners also will get together tonight. So a couple of other public meetings, although they're not expected to be as contentious as those, as that meeting last night, for sure. Well, Nikki, what is happening? I know that you've been poring over all of this all morning long.
I have. I've been working hard all morning, and I was looking at Chapelboro, our website, and I've got several things to talk about this morning, including Elizabeth Friend. I think you've been talking about it all morning. It's the cold temperatures driving up the demand for shelter.
Yeah.
If you want to help the shelter with the needs that they may have, there is a link on our webpage, chapelboro.com, as Elizabeth said. So if you have any opportunity to help, please go on to our website, chapelboro.com. UNC academic scandal, painful hit for college sports loyalists by Billy Reed. It talks about Carolina being hardly the first school to compromise its athletics or academic standards to accommodate gifted athletes who have no business being in college. Every university has courses and majors that are conducive to keeping athletes eligible to play and make money for the university. The fact that it happened in Chapel Hill hurts more than just the university and its athletic programs. It hurts everyone in college athletics who's fighting against corruption at all levels.
Yeah, it's pretty widespread, that's for sure.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And while all this stuff is going on at Carolina, everybody else is going, okay, stay away from us.
Yeah.
Just stay right there in Chapel Hill. Investigate.
Yeah, I almost felt like, though, I was reading an article by Wayne Pond because he uses words like schadenfreude and draconian. I loved it.
Schadenfreude?
Yeah.
It sounds like
Schadenfreude.
Farfignugen. Right. What kind of car are you driving when you say Schadenfreuden or whatever it was you said?
I don't know. A Volkswagen, I guess. I don't know.
I don't think I've heard that one.
I know. It's a good one. Arts Engle. He's got a new article out, Timing is Everything, where he talks Carolina football.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a photo gallery by Susan Murray on the 2014 Business Hall of Fame where the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber held its annual Business Hall of Fame Awards at the fabulous Caroline Inn. It looked like a lot of fun, and everybody dressed up really pretty. So.
And Sandy McClamrock, one of the honorees at that night, and he, of course, started WCHL all those years ago, back in 1953, 61 years ago. And Sandy, just a terrific guy. He looks really good in a tuxedo, and Bette looked awfully good, too. And just one of the nicest people in the world. And
awesome.
Congratulations to Sandy for that. And a lot of people advised him against it. They said, starting a local radio station, that's not a good idea. It's Sandy's folly, they called it.
Really?
But he persevered.
Interesting.
He got it done. And, you know, here we are 61 years later, and Sandy's still around.
And so are you.
And yep, I was not here in the beginning, contrary to popular belief. But, I mean, Sandy persevered, made it happen. And he was one of the people honored at that very special get-together.
It looked beautiful.
Yeah.
I really wish I could have gone, but the food was delicious.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. But everybody looking good, all dressed up in tuxes and all that kind of stuff. So, hey, I know you dress pretty much like that every day.
Every day.
It's not really a big deal for you.
No, no. My hair is nicely coiffed every day.
Coiffed.
Well, I'm getting ready for Wayne Pond. I know he's coming up pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're just going to take more than quaffing to get ready for that. Chapelboro.com now has an app where you can follow us from wherever you are in the world. Doesn't matter. I'm losing my voice. You notice that?
I have.
It's 743 at WCHL. Today's commentary from Lou Margolis is coming up next. He says there are some really good things happening on the UNC campus in spite of all that negative publicity that we hear about all the time. That is up right after this.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary four-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing and we can say we knew her when. Visit unchildrens.org.
Hello, this is Tony Hall, real estate broker at Tony Hall & Associates. People often ask me, how does a small company such as Tony Hall & Associates sell so many homes? It's a matter of quality versus quantity. We don't have the most agents, we have the best agents. If you're planning to buy or sell real estate, call us today at 919-933-8500 or see us online at tonyhallassociates.com. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
More rewards, not more rules. That's what you can expect from our Visa Bonus Rewards Card. With the Visa Bonus Rewards Card, earn points that you can redeem for your choice of cash back, travel, and more. Plus, get $25 cash back with your first purchase. More rewards, not more rules. Apply today at any Bank of North Carolina branch or on our website. For details and full disclosure, go to bankofnc.com. Subject to credit approval. Member FDIC.
Experience the charm of Chapel Hill with Preservation Chapel Hill. Join us on December 6th for a tour of historic homes in the Gimgul and Battle Park neighborhood. The annual Holiday House Tour has become a town tradition in its own right, now in its 42nd year. Be a part of the tradition. For more information, visit preservationchapelhill.org or call 919-942-7818. Tickets are on sale now. See you on December 6th.
It is 7:46 at WCHL. Good morning.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Lou Margolis. The Chapel Hill Philharmonia, a community orchestra directed by Don Ayler, a professor in UNC's Department of Music, gave a glorious performance of excerpts from Mozart's The Magic Flute. As the orchestra's annual fall children's concert, dozens of children sprawled on the floor at the feet of the orchestra in the Keenan Music Building, mesmerized by the fantastic characters and music created by Mozart. Who brought these characters to life? Well, it was 15 current students or recent graduates of UNC's Department of Music. Some were voice majors, some simply studying voice to complement their interests in other academic fields. These students and their faculty give true voice to the mission of UNC, to serve as a center for research, scholarship, and creativity, and to teach a diverse community of undergraduate, graduate, and professional students to become the next generation of leaders. At the end of a week, marked by shocking revelations that UNC had hosted a scheme resulting in fake classes for over 3,000 students, disproportionately athletes struggling to maintain academic eligibility, that 9 faculty and staff face severe discipline or termination, and that a popular and heretofore respected ethics teacher, faculty leader, and academic advisor to numerous athletes had participated in the undermining of academic standards. It was both gratifying and heartwarming to watch these 15 music students light up the world in the faces of dozens of youngsters. These were not, by the way, student singers or student performers, in contrast to the student athletes, a term devised to disguise the quasi-professionalism of students who play football or basketball. These were students who did not need the wordy evasion characterized by a hyphenated status. This wonderful collaboration between the community orchestra and the students of the Department of Music is plain to see for all to enjoy. Building classes of talented music students does not require any of the dozens of rules and regulations that have been imposed on the teachers and students who do not face the conflict between advancing academic progress on the one hand and meeting the demands of big-time football and basketball on the other. Enriching the campus and the community with the music of Mozart does not require compliance officers reporting to the NCAA. As the final curtain falls on the magic flute, we hear the words of Zoroastro, the high priest, and the chorus in response. The rays of sun chase night away. The hypocrite's surreptitious power is utterly destroyed. Hail to the initiates. You have penetrated the darkness. Fortitude is victorious, and in reward crowns beauty and wisdom. See you at the next Philharmonia concert on December 7th. This is Lou Margolis.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
As presenting sponsor of the 2014 Battle for Atlantis contest, Continental Tire is sending 2 lucky UNC fans to the Bahamas to cheer on your Tar Heels. Let Continental Tire get you to the game with its award-winning Eco Plus technology that gains you miles and saves money. From the all-new True Contact to the Cross Contact LX20, Continental Tire has a tire that's right for you. To find a retailer near you, visit ContinentalTire.com. Continental Tire, for what you do.
Get a deal you can unwrap right now during the Happy Honda Day sales event at Crown Honda South Point, where you can unwrap a 2015 Honda Accord Sedan CVT LX for just $199 a month. The Happy Honda Day sales event is the perfect time to unwrap your favorite Honda, so hurry in to Crown Honda South Point today. The only dealer with extended service hours 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. on weekdays and open weekends too. If you're up, we're open. Located on South Point Auto Park Boulevard and online at southpointhonda.com. Subject to credit approval, excludes taxes, tags, and fees. See dealer for complete lease details.
Hey, Lee.
Leonardo da Vinci, the Mona Lisa, she's a great success. But how did you get her to smile like that?
Oh, Michelangelo, it's obvious. I sent her to the Breadmans.
Breadmans on Rosemary Street?
Sure, they've got the great food with breakfast all day and low prices. You can't go in there and not come out a smiling.
Yes, I better head to Breadmans today.
Today?
Yeah, they got me painting this ceiling for the next 4 years.
Oh, bummer.
Breadman's Restaurant, a Chapel Hill tradition.
What, you think we only like a pizza?
And that's Italian. 750 at WCHL, and time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is, Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. Looks like we're seeing some crowded conditions. Old Chapel Hill Road heavy in spots both directions between Mount Moriah Road and Garrett. Northbound Fordham Boulevard also crowded as you approach Manning Drive if you're heading to 54 and 40 eastbound, now slowing between 751 and the Durham Freeway, and again through the airport exits. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or safely tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
All right. Thanks very much. You ready for the clean joke of the day coming up?
Absolutely.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Nikki Morse and the traffic brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Order your honey barbecue ham, smoked or Cajun fried turkey online today at dickies.com before they're all gone. WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather presented by the Carolina Inn. It is 35 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, 34 in Carborough, where it's always going to be cooler. It is going to be sunny all day, much cooler. High today only in the upper 30s. Tonight, clear and cold with a low all the way down to 18. Tomorrow, sunny with a high in the low 40s. Tomorrow night, it's going to be clear and cold again with a low in the upper 20s. And then on Thursday, a little bit warmer, highs creeping back up into the low 50s. Still, a lot of sunshine. Three straight days here, really not bad. 751 at WCHL. The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Wayne Pond is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine, his house, because Mary Donna happens to be a wonderful cook. And in that regard, Wayne is a very lucky individual.
For once, you're speaking the truth.
In a lot of regards, you're very lucky. You definitely married up.
That makes two times now you're speaking the truth.
What's up with you?
That makes you a regular radio journalist, old boy.
Thank you.
Well, let's see here. Yesterday we did, what, Sisyphean or Sisyphianism?
Something like that, yeah.
And something like that. Mary Donna accused me of not leaning enough on the definition, so, brother, we're gonna run this one up and down the flagpole.
Lean on me.
Block that metaphor.
When you're not strong. All right.
All right, the word of the day. Take a deep breath here, Ron, Nikki. The word of the day is jodhpurs. Jodhpurs.
Jodhpurs.
Little exotic, something exotic for you this morning on our radio exercise.
Don't they do class rings for people graduating from high school?
Now cut that out.
No, that's Justin's. Thank you, Jack Bennett.
Cut that out, Ron. All right, J-O-D-H-P-U-R-S. This is a mouthful, kind of a toughie. J-O-D, D is in delightful, J-O-D-H-P-U-R-S, Jodhpurs. Actually, it's a city in northwestern India, but you remember all those dashing Stuart Granger films you saw back in the 19th century, Ron, you know, about exotic characters and exotic places? Well, many of those men and women wore jodhpurs. These are riding breeches. Riding breeches, I say.
Is that like breeches?
Yeah, that's right, breeches. Close-fitting from the knees to the ankle, but loose above the knees, so to accommodate the riding life.
You've got some kind of a fashion correlation with that, Nikki?
No, I was just thinking, I get it now, yeah. I know exactly what he's talking about.
Oh. Sort of like...
Nikki, the station hasn't bought you your own pair of jodhpurs yet?
Not yet, but I look forward to them.
Got her some pedal pushers.
Similar, only
all right,
different.
Guys. There it is, jodhpurs, J-O-D-H-P-U-R-S, jodhpurs. It's both a city in India and a definition of riding attire or riding breeches. So I hope you enjoy it and have a splendid Tuesday. It's cold out there, Ron.
Yeah, it is. But it's not foggy and it's not rainy.
All right, that's good news. Bad. Okay, buddy. Talk to you in the morning. Take care.
All right, big guy. Thank you. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Frankton Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
I have no idea.
Sometime next hour, you have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. Out of the goodness of our hearts. Time now for the clean joke of the day on WCHL. And here once again is Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. Well, you know, because it's been snowing all over the country, except for here, it's just cold. Mm-hmm. I thought I would throw in a little snow
for you. Thank you.
There's this blonde, and she was driving a car. She became lost in a snowstorm. She didn't panic, however, because she remembered what her dad had once told her. If you get stuck in a snowstorm, just wait for a snowplow to come by and follow it. Sure enough, pretty soon a snowplow came by and she started to follow it. She followed the plow for about 45 minutes. Oh. Finally, the driver of the plow got out and asked her what she was doing. She explained to him that her dad had told her if she ever got stuck in a snowstorm to follow a plow. The driver nodded and said, "Well, I'm done with Walmart parking lot. Do you want to follow me over to Best Buy now?"
Oh, boy. Well, that's a joke for the... for the season.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot, I think.
Sure. Yeah.
756 at WCHL.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Karen McCall is today's WCHL Hometown Hero. She's a volunteer with Piedmont Wildlife Center, and they have a very special event coming up this weekend.
It's an auction that we have at the Durham Armory on November 22nd from 6:30 to 10:30. We are going to have live music. We're going to have local foods. We're going to have some of our ambassador species, which are animals that have been rehabilitated but can't be released back to the wild, but we use them to help educate the public at schools or general public, and that's anywhere from little kids to adults. And then we'll have lots of silent auction items as well as a live auction going on.
Karen McCall has always loved animals, and this is the way she chooses to give back, helping Piedmont Wildlife Center.
We are a nonprofit organization that's been around for about 10 years, focused now on education and conservation. So we do education programs in schools. We have an after-school program in both Carrboro-Chapel Hill schools as well as Durham schools. And also, we just started one in Hillsboro. We're expanding. We also teach adult classes, conservation in different realms. So part of that would be outreach programs where we go during the day to schools and share those animals I just mentioned and talk about what is around our environment and trying to get people connected to that so we can have a more sustainable, better quality of life.
And where does the money from this weekend's event go?
This supports our organization overall. We use it for our conservation program so that we can do more research. Part of it's to help feed those animals that we do have. A lot of it is supporting our program. So we are able to offer scholarships for kids to attend our summer camps, also offer these programs that we do at our after-school programs with the elementary and middle schools. We can bring those programs to them as well as offer scholarships to those kids that wouldn't be able to participate.
Aaron Keck will be there.
He will. He is going to be our MC. Yeah. He did it last year and did a great job. We're really excited to have him back, and we're really excited to have the support of WCHL.
Yeah, how do folks find out more about Piedmont Wildlife Center and also the event?
PiedmontWildlifeCenter.org. Mm-hmm. And if you go on there, we've got all the information about the auction, also about our education and conservation programs, as well as how you can support us. We're always looking for volunteers. We have a big thing called WildNet, something that our conservation team runs, and that actually is for people that call with injured animals and don't know what to do. We help field those calls and kind of keep the rehabilitators doing what they need to do as opposed to answering the phone, and we'll help with sheltering and moving animals around as well.
Thank you for caring about the animals. Karen McCall, today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather. A cold day, but sunny. No rain in the forecast. Much cooler today. Our high today only in the upper 30s. Right now we're at 35. Tonight clear and cold with a low all the way down to 18 degrees. It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Deadly attack at a Jerusalem synagogue.
Heard one shot, two shots, and then a flurry of shots. We all ran out.
Snowbound along the Great Lakes.
They will be measuring snow with a yardstick.
On Edge in Ferguson, Missouri.
Go home! Go home!
Two. You can't have it!
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. Secretary of State Kerry condemns a deadly attack at a Jerusalem synagogue, and Israel's prime minister vows retaliation. A police spokesman says four worshippers were killed. Three of them were Israeli Americans.
Two Palestinians entered inside the synagogue with knives and axes, attacked innocent people that were praying inside the synagogue.
The two attackers were shot and killed. CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas condemned the attack, but he also accused Israel of provocations at a disputed Jerusalem holy place. Hamas is praising the attack, along with a lot of Palestinians on the streets.
With beheadings by ISIS as a shocking backdrop, the U.S. is going to review the policy that bans paying ransom for the release of Americans held hostage. Live to CBS's Vicki Barker.
One possible option, keep the law, but don't throw the book at families who try to free their loved ones. CBS News security consultant Juan Zarate.
I think the U.S. government can say, look, we're not going to prosecute family members who try to pay ransoms, even if it violates criminal law. I think that's something the administration might look at.
But it's unlikely the U.S. will change a policy that supporters argue keeps Americans abroad safe. They say those European governments that do pay ransoms have just encouraged the hostage takers to seize their citizens. Steve?
Well, Peter Kassig, the former Army Ranger and aid worker, was the latest American to die at the hands of ISIS. His Indiana parents say they believe his life is proof one person can make a difference.
Our hearts are battered, but they will mend. The world is broken, but it will be healed in the end.
ISIS holds other Westerners, including a 26-year-old American woman. Now to Chicago, where a small plane shortly after takeoff early this morning from Midway Airport crashed into a home. No one inside the house was hurt. No word on the fate of the lone person on the plane. In western New York, some places in the Buffalo area have 3 feet of snow on the ground. And it's coming down at the rate of up to 4 inches an hour in some places. Matt English is highway chief in West Seneca.
Right now we're getting pounded with snow, and we have a travel ban in effect in the town of West Seneca. Our schools are closed.
WCBS meteorologist Craig Allen.
Some of these areas where the bands decide to sit and stay for hours upon hours could produce anywhere from 1 to as much as 3 feet of snow over the next 24 hours.
Other Great Lakes areas in Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin could get a foot and a half. It's bitterly cold in the upper Midwest. This man's bundling up in Hurley, Wisconsin, where it's 9 degrees.
Layers. Long sleeve shirts, wind shirts, hats, gloves.
Temperatures below freezing this morning into the Florida panhandle. Well, the cold weather in Ferguson, Missouri has not taken the edge off a heated issue as a grand jury nears a decision in the Michael Brown shooting death.
National Guard troops are being sent to the St. Louis region to act as backup to local